Beloved congregation, Peter said to the Lord Jesus, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Can we understand what was in the heart of Peter? Does that live also in our hearts? Because that was said from Peter from a principle in which the Lord Himself had placed in Peter's heart, then there was a very great reverence and there was a very great love, so that he had a desire that Christ would be honored and not that he should have to stoop and to wash his feet. But Christ, he said to him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And how was that then for Peter? Then Peter could not endure that. Do we understand Peter? That he said, "No, no, that is not good either, to have no part with him that I cannot endure." And so Peter said, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Do you understand, Peter? And Peter said, "Then I need to be washed from head to foot." And he desired to be cleansed from sin, that he may have part with Christ. And yet Peter again needed to be corrected, because the Lord Jesus says to him that he that is washed needeth save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit. When will God's children get it right? And we see that they need nothing but instruction because of the ignorance that is living within them. And this is what we wish to consider with the Lord's help in this afternoon hour out of Lord's Day 12. And we wish to consider once again question 31, but only this afternoon, the first part of it. Question 31, why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Answer, because he was ordained, he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. So far, our Lord's Day, which speaks about Christ anointed as by the Father as prophet. First, the necessity of this prophet, and second, the instruction of this prophet. Christ anointed by the Father as prophet, and then next times we hope to see him as anointed priest and as anointed king. But this afternoon, anointed by the Father as prophet, and first we see the necessity, and second, the instruction of this prophet. Thus, a prophet. What is a prophet? A prophet is one who publishes things to come. So that is, boys and girls, things to come, they are things in the future. And you understand that things that are in the future are things that are unknown unto us. And so a prophet, that is a man who is speaking about things which are unknown unto men. They are hidden. There were prophets in the Old Testament. We can also read about prophets in the New Testament. How can a prophet speak about something that is hidden, that is future? There is only one way, and that is that prophet does receive his instruction from the Lord himself. And so we can read of those prophets in the Old Testament in a special way, that they were called by the Lord, that they were sent by the Lord, and that the Lord gave to them instruction, that he spake unto them, that he made known unto them the future, that he did so sometimes by way of dream, sometimes by way of vision while they were awake. And then not only that they did speak about the future, but they were also those who did warn the people from the Lord, and that did instruct the people according to God's holy word. And they have especially spoken of that Messiah that was to come. Not only in the Old Testament, but we can read about the prophets in the New Testament, because there were also such prophets who spoke about future things. If we think about Peter, we think about Paul, and then they have spoken of things in the future. We think about Agabus. He spoke about a dearth that would be coming in those days. And we can read also that he has prophesied of the binding of the Apostle Paul in Jerusalem. But that word prophet, that is also used in the New Testament, not only speaking about these prophets in a special way who prophesied concerning the future, but that word prophet is used in the New Testament also in a general way, so that it spoke of those who were given a special understanding by the Lord in the Holy Scriptures, and they were given to explain those Holy Scriptures unto God's church. So we can read that there were many gifts that were given, especially in that early church. One of those gifts that was to speak in tongues, but the other, another of those gifts was to prophesy. And we can read that the apostle, he says that it is better to prophesy than it is to speak in tongues, because he that prophesies speaks to men to their edification, to their exhortation, and to their comfort. So a prophet, or what we would call more in our days a teacher. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher. Thus, our fathers say the chief, that is not the only prophet and teacher, but he is the chief prophet and teacher. Why? Well, because he also institutes and he ordains a ministry, that he may by that means instruct his church. So Paul says that he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some prophets and teachers. Because, boys and girls, where is the Lord Jesus today? He is no longer on the earth that he may teach us, but he is in heaven. And so then he is giving other teachers that may give us instruction out of that word of God. But what did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He said, without me, ye can do nothing. And so he is that chief prophet and teacher that must give instruction to each and every one of his own teachers in order that they may give instruction unto others. And then how does he teach? Well, he teaches in a special way by the sending of his Holy Spirit, that he may accompany that preaching, that teaching of his word into the heart of men. And that is now upon what we are so very, very dependent, both in the preaching and in the hearing. Our first thought is the necessity of that prophet. And where does now the need for that prophet come from? Well, children, where does the need of a teacher come from? Well, you say that that is because I don't know. Yes, that is right. That is ignorance. And because of ignorance, then we have a need for a teacher. Otherwise, we don't need anyone to teach us anything. Say, so where did that ignorance come from? Well, that came from the fall. Yes. Yes, of course. Before the fall, then there was also place for instruction. We know that God only is omniscient, and man, he was made in the image of God, and man was therefore created full of knowledge, and yet that doesn't mean that there was no place for instruction. For our first parents, even before the fall, that they may increase in learning, and that had they remained in that state, that when they would have had children, that they would have had to instruct their children. We know that the Lord Jesus, when he was born in this world, that he was born as a child, and that he needed to be instructed as a child, even though that he was God himself, by Joseph and by Mary. And such was even the humiliation that he has submitted himself to, that we can read that in the state of his humiliation, and while he was in his human nature, that there were even things that the Lord Jesus did not know in this world. Because he speaks unto his disciples about that day and that hour wherein the Son of Man should come. And he says that of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels that are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. And that is now for us incomprehensible, but that had to do with Lord Jesus in the state of his humiliation. Thus a prophet, a teacher that is to reveal things, to teach things unto those who are ignorant, things that we do not know. That is a much appreciated thing. Do you ever think about that, young people? Because we also have a school, and our school that is also in need continually of those who will teach, who will instruct our children. And what a blessed task is that task of giving to others instruction. Why? Because good instruction that is so much appreciated by those who may receive it. Not that that is not a lot of work, because you should not think that that you may take up that labor in order that you may just take it easy, because so it is not. You may ask our teachers. But when they may give everything that they have to prepare a good lesson for the students, then those students may feel it, and they may receive also sometimes many years later that those students are coming back to say how much that they have appreciated what they have given unto them. Thus, we say much work, much labor, and much sacrifice, but it has a great reward of appreciation. What was now that knowledge of which that chief prophet and teacher is now especially concerned? Because there is so much knowledge in this world, knowledge of which that we are sometimes amazed. We may marvel at what the Lord is giving to man in this world, that he may know, that he may accomplish, that he may build. But there is also a knowledge in this world that is so lacking. And what is that knowledge? That is the knowledge of God. That is the knowledge of spiritual things. That is a knowledge that is even in our days, just in an outward way, frighteningly lacking in the society in which we are living. And then not only in an outward way, in a general way, but especially that knowledge of faith. That true and saving faith, so that the Lord Jesus, he has said unto his disciples, when the Son of Man is coming again upon the earth, shall he find faith on the earth? We have the opportunity to learn so much about this world, especially in our days, young people. We have devices, we have an internet, so that there is nothing in just one moment, everything that is at our fingertips. And we hope, in the first place, that you use that instrument not in an evil way, because that is an instrument that is greatly abused. And Satan, he is alluring the sinfulness, the fleshliness of our heart in this instrument, so that we fear sometimes that it will be the downfall not only of our society, but also of our own churches, of our own people. But there is also, and that is a lawful thing, of course, there is also so much knowledge that may be gained through this medium. The Lord also gives that it may be in our days increased in such a way. But congregation, can we not also abuse this so that they are lawful things always that we are doing? We hope so. But now even lawful things, oh, what will it be? What will it be when we come to the end of our life and that we know everything there is to know about all the mysteries that can be found in this world? And then on our deathbed, then we are missing the knowledge of God himself. That we miss the knowledge of that judge before whom we are now called to appear. The Lord Jesus, he says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent? Is there a time then that we are placing all that worldly knowledge to the side, and that we are seeking above all that knowledge of our Maker, that knowledge of our Creator? This is now that knowledge that we have lost in our fall, because with this knowledge we have been created in that image of God. What is that image of God? Our young people know it, consisting in three things. The first is knowledge. Knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. That means that we were created knowing who that our Maker is. But it is now this knowledge that we have so fearfully lost. But now it is exactly for this purpose that we can read in this Lord's Day that Christ was ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost. Oh, do you feel something of your need for Him? That you say, I lack that knowledge. That I lack the knowledge of God, and that I lack that true saving faith. The Pharisees, they had much religious knowledge, but we can read that they were also puffed up with their knowledge. But Paul says, if a man thinketh to know anything, then he knoweth nothing as he ought to know it. What is it to think that we know and not to know? That is nothing but a proud ignorance. And a proud ignorance is a very, very dangerous thing, because such a man is not seeking after knowledge. And then that chief prophet, especially, and teacher, he is despised. But congregation, this is now our carnal state by nature, lying in that wretched unbelief and that state of ignorance of God, our Maker, our Creator. But now we read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, then He is walking with those disciples on that way to Emmaus. Then we read, then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. That is now the instruction of this chief prophet and teacher. That is our second thought. And for this very purpose, that he might give that instruction and open the understanding that the Scriptures might be understood. That is now the purpose, one of the purposes for which he has been anointed. And this congregation, we are not able to do without. There was one time a very learned religious man. He was a teacher in the church. He was a leader of other persons. He was also a man that lived a life outwardly that was blameless. But that man was unconverted. And then the Lord came. And what was now the first thing that the Lord did? Well, the first thing that the Lord did was give him instruction. The first thing that the Lord did was turn all of his religion upside down. Do you believe that? That the Lord is able to take all your religion and all your knowledge, which you think to have, and turn that completely upside down? You know of this man. Who is he? We have read of him. That man was Saul of Tarsus. And who was now his chief prophet and teacher? That was Jesus, we read, whom he persecuted. He spoke to him from heaven. And in one moment, he said to that man, thus far and no further. This is now the manner of that chief prophet and teacher when he is going to give a man instruction in the midst of his life in this world. No, that is not an instruction like the instruction of our teachers in our school, like our instruction. Like the instruction of us parents unto our children. Because our instruction that is so often it seems without effect. But this instruction of that chief prophet and teacher is most powerful. That is efficacious. It is by an irresistible power. Of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. So that when this teacher, when this prophet will give us instruction, something will be known. Something will be felt. It is true that not everyone knows of that moment that they are stopped in this world. Not every one of that true church may speak and may say, that is now the point. That is now the place where the Lord has converted me. That I was born again. Because we cannot name that place either in our natural life. And yet, congregation, there is a great difference between death and life. Those are two things that cannot be mixed, that cannot be, that must be distinguished from one another. Death and life. So life has its evidences. And what is now the first evidence of life? When we would say that there has been an accident and we see one laying there on the ground and we say, is he dead or is he alive? Then what will you look for, boys and girls? Well, you say, we'll see if he is breathing. That is right. Is he breathing? Does breath, that is the evidence of life. And so that is also in a spiritual way. Then there is a breathing. Then there is a panting. Then there is a hungering. And then there is a thirsting. But that is now a breathing and a hungering and a thirsting after something that is, and they have never hungered and thirsted and breathed after in this world before. Because what were now the first breathings of this man, of this Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord stopped him on his way, this religious man, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, so much knowledge, so much religion. But what were now the first breathings of this man when the Lord gave him a new birth? We will sing first. 417, 1 and 2. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation. thy light and truth to be my guide. O let their rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where 'neath thy wing I'll be supplied with grace thou wilt provide. 1 and 2 of 417. Persecutest thou me? That is, congregation, the personal question of that chief prophet and teacher. And then he will begin to give instruction unto one of his elect vessels, we read. Saul, Saul, his name that is doubled over. Then it is an instruction that comes not unto others. Yes, there were others with him, we read. But that instruction that is coming only unto him. And then he may know it for sure, that that word of that chief instructor, that is a word that is coming directly unto him, so that there is no questioning in his mind. Oh, the Lord, when He is coming in our life, congregation, each and every day, when we are coming under the instruction in that house of the Lord, then how is it for us? Oh, then we go from this place, and then it is always for someone else. But when the Lord is coming in our life, then the Lord is doubling our name over. Not only is the Lord saying, "Why persecutest thou me?" in a general way, but the Lord is directing it unto us. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Thus the Lord is giving instruction. And then He is showing not that my neighbor's life is wrong, that everyone else is doing wrong, and that I can go and correct them also in Damascus because they are not living according to the Bible. No, but when the Lord is coming, then the Lord is coming unto me. And then He is pointing out that it is not my neighbor, but that it is my life that is wrong, that it is my religion that is wrong, and that it is not the sin of my neighbor that is so awful, but it is my own sin that has come up before the Lord. Oh, did the Lord ever speak in our life, double over our name, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" That is now so necessary. And what is now the consequence of this powerful instruction? Well, what was the consequence in that life of Saul? And when that chief prophet and teacher is beginning to speak, what is Saul's answer? He says, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou?" What is it? It is a confession. It is a confession of what? It is a confession of his ignorance. Of his ignorance of what? Of his ignorance of all the things that are in this world? No. A confession of his ignorance of who God is. A confession of his ignorance of who Christ is. And that with all of his religion. And then not only a confession of his ignorance, but there is in this also a petition. It is a petition to that chief prophet and teacher that he says, "O Lord, teach me, because I do not know. Show me now who that thou art. Show me now who is my maker. Show me now who is my creator. Show me now who is my judge. Who is the Lord?" We read that said of also another man in the Bible. That was Pharaoh, king of Egypt. "Who is the Lord?" Say, that is a similar question. Indeed it is. But it has such a different intent. No, there is in him no desire to be instructed. There is in him no desire to know who that the Lord is. But it is only rebellion that is living in his heart. "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." So it is also congregation in our hearts by nature. Because we hear every time again who that the Lord is. We heard it once again so clearly in this morning hour. And how do we go from the house of the Lord? And how do we go over our life day by day? Is it not really with all our religion the same? That we are saying, who is the Lord? That I should obey His voice? But now when that chief prophet and teacher will begin in our life to give us instruction, then how will it become? Oh, then also this shall be this rebellion that will be overturned. Oh, then we become so ignorant in ourselves. And then we become as clay in His fingers. And then our heart begins to go out unto Him to say, O Lord, who art Thou? Who art Thou that has made me? Who art Thou to I owe everything in my whole life? Who art Thou to whom that I am traveling? Who art Thou before whom that I must soon appear? Then we will begin to search for Him. You can be sure of that. Then we will begin to ask after Him. Then we will begin to knock. Then we will begin to search. You can believe that we will begin to read in His holy word and the books that are written therein. Know that internet shall not be everything in our life anymore. But then you will take, young people, the tapes, the sermons, the CDs. Then you will listen to them. Why? Because of that longing. O Lord, who art Thou? That desire as pants the heart for streams of living water, so pants my soul, O living God, for Thee. That is now the instruction of that chief prophet and teacher, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. Our redemption. That is now the chief object, that He may give instruction unto His people. And then He does not teach as we do. Then He does not teach as we teach our catechism lessons, our confession class lessons. No, but He will actually put His church into that full possession of that knowledge of this redemption. He will actually, and He will really give it unto them through His own instruction. Or He will teach them. He will teach them not only in their mind. No, He will teach them experimentally. He will lead them step by step, even as the blind. Then He will lead them in that way that they do not know. Oh, never has a teacher, never has a teacher in this whole world had such students as this prophet and teacher. Such difficult students. Why? Because then He runs not only up against all their ignorance. It is not only because they do not know, but it is because that He is running also against so much opposition of the rebellion of the heart and of the flesh. How many years did it take for the children laying in Egypt before that cry came up unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth? Because Moses was already born under oppression that had been for many years already. Those children in his time of his birth, they were already being thrown into the river. But Moses was 80 years old before that cry has come up into the ears of the Lord. And then it is true. Then those seasons, those times and seasons, they are not all the same. They are coming and they are going, because we cannot believe and that those children were thrown into that Nile for those full 80 years? No. But there were times of greater oppression. And then there were times that there was experienced by that people a little relief. And so then it became bearable for that people to live in the midst of Egypt. But so that is also under the instruction of that chief prophet and teacher. What do we read about Samson? We read the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. A congregation, is there a people? Is there a people, young or old, whom the Spirit of the Lord begins to move at times? Then there is a moving, because then there is a disappointment experienced in everything that is here below. When a man experiences that everything here below cannot fulfill the need that is living in his heart, then it is experienced that vanity of vanities, all is vanity. And then that chief prophet and teacher, he is beginning to draw the hearts of that people. So they are going out after him. But what is happening? Oh, then it is not always the same. Because then there are times that it is settling. And that people, they are again enjoying a little bit of the leeks and the onions and the cucumbers of Egypt. And what is now necessary? Oh, that chief prophet and teacher, what does he have to do? Well, then he has to lay it on a little harder. Do we ask maybe sometimes, why does it not go the way that I desire that it goes? Why is it not according to all my flesh in this world? Well, because that chief prophet and that teacher, then he needs to lay that rod on a little harder. Oh, that is out of the love of his heart from eternity for his children. And no chastening that for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. But afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Oh, that is now the love. And that is now the chief prophet and teacher in the life of his children. That is not letting them go. And so that oppressing hand of those Egyptians, of the Egyptians, oh, they are but a rod in the hand of the Lord, as so that it becomes unbearable to live there in Egypt any longer. And so that cry that is finally coming up into the ears of the Lord, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. Congregation, what is necessary for this? Then we have to know what our guilt is. Then we need to be instructed in our guilt, in our sin. That is no mean task. Joseph's brethren came to Egypt as true men, and they did not easily become verily guilty men, but they did become so. But whose work was that? That was Joseph's work. How? Well, he told them. Well, yes, he told them. But they have denied it. And they have said, no, we are not spies, but we are true men. Congregation, Joseph's hand as their teacher, as their instructor. That was necessary to actually bring them, to give them to know for sure what their guilt was. Thus, it was not only in their mind, but those men, they are to come to a true confession. And thus, it must be experienced in their life. And this is now the work of this chief prophet and teacher. And it was not until that time that those brethren came in that guilt that he did reveal unto them the secret counsel and the will of God concerning their redemption. What did Christ say to his disciples? He said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." And what did Peter say? He said, "Though all men should be offended, yet will not I." Oh, there is a people, out of the love of their heart, they would do everything for the Lord. Everything. But what do they not know? They do not realize their own weakness. They do not realize their own inability. Thus they speak out of ignorance. And now the Lord, He can tell them. He can tell them. He can say it unto them. But they will not believe it. Because the Lord, He can say that to Peter too. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." But Peter will not believe it. He will not. That is the ignorance of himself. "Though all men should deny thee, yet will not I." And likewise we read, said all the disciples. Oh, there is only one way. There is only one way that God's church can learn anything. And that is that the Lord will lead them to experience it in their life. And congregation, therefore, what a wonder that there is such a chief prophet and teacher. And what is now his chief instruction? That is, that you cannot die for me, but that I will have to die for you. Oh, that chief instruction, that is instruction in the redemption, in the redemption. That is instruction in the way of free and sovereign grace to the chiefest of the sinners. The chief instruction wherein that people need to be led. What is it? That you will have to be saved with your hands down. With your hands down. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So contrary to everything that is living in the flesh of God's children. And so what does he have to do? Then he has to leave them for a little while. Just to leave them for a little while. And let them work. And let them work. Until they will work themselves into death. What does the Bible say? the Bible says, at their wits' end. And then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And then, that is now part of that instruction of that chief prophet and teacher. So that people, they are crying in the experience of their wretchedness, of their inability. They are crying, even with Job of old, how should man be just with God? Or is there such a cry also among us, brought forth by that chief prophet and teacher, because that is now the people to whom that secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption is revealed? By that chief prophet and teacher, when he will say to that people, I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, what an instruction. When the Lord is opening something of that way, and when light is given to that people who are sitting in darkness, who are before the gates of death, who are at their wits' end, oh, for the eyes to go open, that they may see something of that way. Oh, we hope the Lord willing to consider something of that priesthood in the week to come. But then, congregation, when the Lord is opening unto that people that way of salvation which He has determined from that never begun eternity, then the people are drawing near. Oh, it may be that they are drawing near even as they are afar off, but drawing near as that publican smiting upon their breast. God be merciful to me, the sinner. And now such instructed by that chief prophet and teacher going down to their house justified, drawing near as the Canaanitish woman to the feet of him with whom they may wrestle for free and sovereign grace at his word. And it is there that the dogs, they may eat the crumbs that are falling from their master's table. The meek shall eat. They shall be satisfied. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, show us the way. O Thou alone art able to teach us. And Thou knowest our ignorance, for Thou knowest our birth, that is, of our father Adam. And Thou knowest that our rebellion, that is evident day by day. O Lord, then there is only one hope for us, and that Thou would appear, and that Thou may give us instruction, and that Thou wouldst lead us in the way and that we must go. But Thou sayest, I will teach Thee in the way that Thou must go, but be not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding. Lord, Thou knowest what we are. O, take us then by heart and by hand. Could it please Thee to lead us into all Thy truth, that there would not be one of us that would remain in the ignorance wherein we were born, but that Thou wouldst grant us light from above. O, work Thou, Lord, and raise us from the dead, and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Look upon us in the rest of this day. And when we have no interest, oh, that we may even in an outward way, and by form and custom busy ourselves with these things. For these are the means that Thou hast given unto us. And wilt Thou grant us that interest, and by a free and sovereign grace by which we will seek our Creator. Look on us then in this week. Keep us each and every one in all the places where we shall come, in the labors of our hands. Strengthen us, therefore. Keep us from sin, from a sudden and an unprepared death. Humble our hearts under Thy goodness. Also for Thy help in this afternoon hour, wilt Thou strengthen us more for this labor, if it could please Thee, and give us a heart to agree with Thy will in everything, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 415 stanzas 2 and 4. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show Thy ways and teach Thou me, so that by Thy Spirit guided, clearly I Thy paths may see. 2 and 4 of Psalter 415. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.